committee will come tomorrow, come to, good morning. The House Aid Affairs will come to order, and with us, we have Representative Peterson, Representative Wilson, Representative Johnson on my right, Representative Gatto, Vice Chair, Representative Policy, myself, Bob Lynn from South Anchorage. And we are going to hear this morning SB 261 on the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board members, and
what was that definition?
And we'll open up. Would you please introduce and just give a brief up-to-date on where we were when we left off with this, and then we'll proceed from there.
Yes, sir.
And I'd like to recognize Representative Grunberg coming in.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Tim Benintendi, staff to Senator Olson, and we sure appreciate this bill coming back up. First of all, I guess a couple of logistics. You should have a blank CS draft, and that would be LS 1406P, as in Papa. And though that amends the version we had before us last time, which was the Senate Labor and Commerce version, that's 1406S.
So let me stop here and get somebody to make a motion to adopt the CS.
Mr. Chairman, I'd move that we adopt the Senate Bill 261 version P for discussion.
Thank you. Okay.
Okay.
Objection.
And so from the last meeting, we were obliged to make some changes, and we've done that. So there's two or three of those that I'll walk you through. And then there are two other considerations, is what I'm calling it, that we need to consider, and I'll take you through those. So for starters, on that blank CS draft, the First Amendment would be on page 1, line 11.
Just a moment, please. Page 1. Representative Seaton.
Excuse me. Are you talking about looking at the changes that are incorporated in the CS, or are we talking?
Yes, sir. Okay. Through the chair, Representative Seaton, the first few changes here are in this work draft.
Okay.
Blank CSP.
Thank you, Mr.
Item P.
Okay. So that was amended into the CS.
Yes. At the time, in other words, from last Thursday or Friday, I made all the changes I knew were desirable. And since then, there's a couple of wrinkles, but I'll get to those in a minute. Anyhow, this CS draft, page 1, line 11, we changed the language to not more than two members of the board may engage in the same business, occupation, or profession. And I think that was a universal desire.
The people on the committee are nodding their heads yes. Or just nodding their heads.
Nodding our heads, yes. This is Grunberg. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We're nodding off.
The second change is page 2, line 5 and 6. This is a pretty substantial change. There was a definite interest in moving away from a definition of rural areas that included any reference to local option elections. So, in this work draft, we have on line 5, page 2, rural area means a community with a population of 6,000 or less that is not connected to by road or rail to Anchorage or Fairbanks, and that is a city under A, and then an established village under B. We basically went back to the original definition, which was in the original bill, basically citing using population as a criteria. But in addition to going back to that, I raised the population figure from 4,500 to 6,000. And that expanded the universe of communities from which applicants could come, and yet still kept with the intentions we had hoped for the bill. So that change is in this. And you have a roster of communities, should be in your packets, that I had made. This is a roster of communities or place names, actually. The first dozen or so aren't populated, but they used to be. but this is what the Commerce Department gave me. Anyhow, this list conforms to the structure of this bill. In other words, this would be your universe pool from which applicants could come. And the numbers of around 94,000, I believe that's your the ultimate field, I guess. Then another amendment is based on the committee's interest. Page 2, line 7. Previously, we had a city, and the bill drafter felt that since city was defined, we didn't need to put the site, but this committee's interest was in adding the site into the bill itself. So AS 2971-800, section 4 does describe a city or a defined city for the purposes of this bill. So we added that.
No, that's it.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Reverend Grunberg.
Yes, that was in accord with my suggestion. I think that's
yes,
a good improvement. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And then lastly, on page 2, line 9, in the previous version, the Senate Labor and Commerce version, which you previously reviewed, we had the full description of an established village, plus we referenced its relevance to being in a borough or not, or being in the unorganized borough. Well, the drafter again said that established village is defined, and therefore she didn't think we needed to have the full definition, but I didn't get to communicate with her on that. My instructions were to carry that forward as was. So if you want to hold to your desire to have the full body in there, including language that says in a borough or in the unorganized borough, to make sure there's absolutely no misunderstanding, then you'd have to include, staff has told me you're interested in an amendment to put that back in.
I would have that as amendment.
And that's not
three.
One of the two.
We
I
have
added
amendment out. One and a two here. I'd like to go through them in the order.
Okay.
That we
and I'm pretty much right at that point, if it suits you.
Okay. Who would offer? Would like to offer a conceptual amendment number one? Was that the one you're interested in, Reverend Johnson? One of them was a particular interest to you.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I would move amendment number one.
I'll object for.
Okay. Move and object for discussion.
Mr. Chairman, I would speak to that if I could.
Representative Johnson.
Amendment number one, so that everyone knows, is the damp, dry damp. Just to make sure we're all on the same page. The purpose of this was to at least put members on the board who dealt with communities where there was a liquor license in the community. I understand there's problems with alcoholism, but that's a law enforcement issue, not an alcohol control board issue. So at least they would represent a community that has a liquor license in place, be it a package store, dispensary.
And it had to deal with issues.
It has to deal with those issues. So it basically just says if you're dry, you can't, or damp. But if you have someone that has a liquor license in your community, then you qualify.
Makes sense to me. Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that this amendment made sense when we had the previous version, the S version. Because we were specifying that there was had to be from communities that had a local option election. I think that now with we just specifying cities are 6,000 or less, we are actually looking at trying to say we want to disenfranchise communities that represent some hundred and some communities that have had these local option elections. I think that, you know, when a community votes on these issues, it's generally a close election. So someone that is in that community that may have voted not to select that local option is fully vested and fully aware of the problems of this type of a structure as well. And I think that gives a good perspective for the board. So I'm not advocating we go back to language that says there has to have been a local option election, but I would like to not disenfranchise anybody from one of those communities from serving on the board. So I'll oppose the amendment for that reason, because we've changed the structure of the bill so much.
Yeah.
Representative Johnson.
And, Mr. Chairman, in response to that, I think what we're doing by including dry and damp communities is we're putting the Alcohol Control Board into a law enforcement mode. Drinking and selling alcohol in those communities is a violation of the law. That's a job for law enforcement and not for and there is no recourse. If the Alcohol Control Board finds someone selling alcohol in there, they have no power. They can't, all they can say is, oops, you know, they did it. The only people that have any power to say anything on that would be a law enforcement officer. And so that's the reason for doing this. I understand they would have insight in the community that wouldn't have, but I think out of the 9,500 people that are here, I don't know how many we're excluding, but I think that in a board with five members, to have someone represented who doesn't have a liquor license in their area or beverage control of any kind would be a disservice to that board.
Okay, thank you. Representative Seaton and then Wilson.
Well, thank you. And Mr. Chairman, it's almost like we should be saying that we should have a litmus test that anybody that doesn't drink alcohol should not be allowed to serve on the board if we're taking this stance that you have to be actively involved in regulating. And so I get worried when we start putting these barriers. I was concerned about the requirement before. I'm much happier with the 6,000.
Mr. Chairman, I'd entertain that as a friendly amendment.
On that point.
I'd entertain that as a friendly amendment that if you don't drink, you can't be on the alcohol board.
I'll offer that to the friendly amendment.
Just joking, Mr. Chairman. That would be, then we are crossing the line.
That would be a
negative.
I'd let it stand. I mean, I think that it's a policy call. Ooh. And on this smaller board, let's vote.
Okay. Before I go, here's.
I would like to know how the sponsor feels about this.
Yes, ma'am. Mr. Chairman, Representative Wilson, the sponsor is very supportive. That particular item had not come up in discussions or other committee hearings, and we're very supportive.
Okay.
That's all my hearing. He is supporting the Amendment 1 that was offered. All right. Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Benintendi, the dialogue that I'm concerned about was between Representative Seaton and Representative Johnson. As I understand it, and Representative Seaton, what I'm going to ask you is whether you agree with Representative Seaton as opposed to Representative Johnson. As I understand the difference between the two approaches.
You don't have to answer that.
Those two points.
And a witness, I don't think it's appropriate.
If I may, as I understand, the difference between the current bill, because I don't think we have to, from what Representative Seaton says, that concept two is covered in this current bill. So I don't think we need to worry. But I'd like to contrast Amendment 1 with the current bill. As I understand it.
Yeah, but keep the personalities out of it.
No, it's not personality. I'm just their argument.
It is when you mention two names.
A and B. Unknown legislator A and unknown legislator B. The sub B that you penned in here, it says in an established village, blah, blah, blah. That doesn't require that the established village be, quote, dry or damp. And Amendment 1 would require that it be dry or damp. The current bill language does not. And I'm wondering, would you prefer the current bill language as opposed to limiting it to dry or damp?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Grunberg, the sponsor supports the amendment as written and also supports Section B on the established village as written. So
he supports,
not prepared to go farther.
Conceptual Amendment 1.
Point of clarification.
Representative Seaton.
And just for clarification, Representative Grunberg, Amendment 1, number 1, what it does is say that if you are a person from a community that has selected a dry or damp option, you may not serve on the Alcohol Beverage Control Board. That's what Amendment Number One does. It doesn't say there must be a person from a dry or damp community. It means you, if you come from a dry or damp community, you may not serve on the Alcohol Beverage Control.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
Representative Grunberg?
That I had it backwards, but the question is whether you would prefer folks from dry or damp communities be allowed to serve on the board. Because otherwise, I see, and maybe I'm wrong, because I'm just really looking at this for the first time, you guys correct me if I'm wrong, but I guess B and C, if we added Amendment Number One, it would not be contrary to sub B. It would just be
a double negative there.
Is there anything, since it's an or, wait a minute, I'm confused. I think the problem is, Mr. Chair, if I may walk this through, the or is on line 8.
When you're saying you're confused, I'm not going to stop you. Go ahead.
Okay. The or after line 8 in the bill itself should be under this proposed Amendment Number 1. Be moved down to the end of sub B. So yeah, you could serve if you're either in sub A or sub B or sub C. I think that's the intent of Amendment Number One, is it not? I'm asking this to Representative, who made the motion? Was Representative Johnson?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm asking that to, I think that the
now,
or.
No, I'm confused.
It's disjunctive, right?
Right.
Okay, so I'd like a friendly amendment to Amendment Number One, that in addition to what you have on the text, that we would move the or from the end of sub A down to the end of sub B, and that would be striking or on line 8 and moving it down to the end of the handwritten stuff after the statutory reference ASO 421. Then we would put the or there. So you could be A or B or C and B on the board. That's a friendly amendment to amendment.
Just a moment. I'm being told here that this handwritten part has not been put into the bill yet.
Oh, it's not in the bill? I thought it was as offered.
We adopted it.
We adopted
it.
So that's
offered, because I didn't hear that. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, so it's in there. So my amendment to Amendment Number One is to move the or, delete it on line 8, and put it at the end of sub B, at the very end of the handwritten portion, and I'd ask unanimous consent to move that.
That would make sense and be consistent.
I object for discussion, because it seems to me that it, 2 says rural area means, and then you're saying you could pick, it either means this or this or this?
Yeah, that's the intent of the amendment. Mm-hmm.
I thought you said that couldn't, it couldn't be it this. So you're saying that...
We're not on 2 at all, we're on 1.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 1. But I thought you wanted this for sure. That's why you're putting it in.
But it says...
Johnson.
Thank you, but the amendment says does not mean a community. If you look at the amendment, or does not mean a community. So that would exclude a community. It would exclude someone from a community that is damp or dry from being on the board.
Oh. But that's not what it's doing.
Yeah, she's right. Mr. Chair.
Reverend Grunberg.
I think that the drafter would probably not make it a C, but would put it somewhere else, because these others would be A or B, and then there'd have to be something else that defines rural community to exclude those others.
Right.
Yes, I think Representative Wilson's right on that.
Mr. Chairman, and the big conceptual amendment at the top, you don't want me doing bill drafting, guaranteed.
No.
So, but the intention, to be very clear, is that a community that does not have a liquor license, and I don't care what size they are or anything else, my intention is a community that doesn't have a liquor license should not have a member from that community representing on the board. So that's the intention.
Yeah, and on that point, then we don't want an or on it.
That's right. And I withdraw my amendment to the amendment, Mr. Chair. You're absolutely right.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, the statement that the maker of the amendment was different than the amendment. This amendment says that you have selected a damp-or-dry provision. The statement by the maker has just been that if you don't have a liquor license in the community, whether you've had an election or not, you can't be on the board.
That, and I stand corrected, Representative Seaton.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Seaton.
For clarity, then, the intention of the amendment is that if they have had a local option election and selected damp or dry, then they wouldn't be allowed to serve on the board. But if there had been no election in that community and there was no liquor store or something else, those people could serve on the board. I just trying to clarify the...
Is that correct?
Amendment.
What if they had an election and chose when?
They'd be eligible. My preference would be that my original statement, if they are damp or dry, whether they've had an election or not, that they would be excluded. But I would live with this amendment because the sponsor has supported it as is, and I don't want to... Either way works for me. It accomplishes a goal. I don't think it goes where I want to technically, because I don't know the communities that haven't had elections that are dry. But we heard from the Alcohol Control Board that if they haven't had an election, they're assumed not to be dry.
True.
So then, if I hear this correctly, we have your amendment number one, and with no amendments, two amendments.
I'm fine with that.
But that's where we are now.
That's where we are now. And I want to go back to the statement I just made that the Alcohol Control Board said if they haven't had an election to say they are something other than, then they are eligible for a liquor license.
Okay. Mr.
Mr. Chairman, when we considered this amendment and helped work it up, we used as a criteria the status of the community, not whether or not they had liquor stores but if the community is officially damp or dry, that was pretty much the criteria we based this on.
Okay. Do you maintain the objection? Did you have a comment?
Yeah, just more questions than I can stand. I'm just curious. There's five members on the board, and we're dealing with one member. And if that member is from a damp, a dry, or a wet community, is that of significance that we are debating all these different ways to declare which community he came from, whether or not he had a local option election? Are we heading someplace where we actually want to go, or should we just say, I don't care if you've had a local option election or not. I don't care if you're wet, dry, or damp. Anybody can serve on the board. That doesn't mean they are for or against or what, because only one out of five members. And so I hate for us, not hate, but I think we're getting ourselves trying to figure out what all of us agree to, and I can't get there from what I've heard. I just think that member, I don't care what community comes from. We wanted to get a rural guy on the board. Let's just allow a wide area, cast the net to cover them all, and see who gets selected without trying to define limits for which we keep narrowing the group of people that are eligible. And I don't think that's the intent of the sponsor, is to narrow the number of people eligible.
Give Mr. Benevenning and then Representative Wilson.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Gatto, when in this blank CS we pulled the language referring to local option elections, it took a lot of that off the deck, and the bill does try to isolate the kinds of communities and or the profiles of communities from which we want applicants to come and sit in that one seat that we changed the definition of some. So we're pleased with the product we've come out with, and certainly the discussions have helped, and we stand by, because the exclusion of damp and dry communities, because it was logical and plausible, and it had never come up in discussion before. So we'll stand with as written.
Chair.
As written, without the amendment. Or the amendment as written.
As written. I mean,
the bill.
My discussions with my boss didn't go any farther than that.
Representative Wilson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. It It seems to me that this is a good amendment for this reason. When you have people on the alcohol board, and they're talking, and they're discussing, I don't know what they discuss, but I guess they discuss who to give licenses to, it would be wise to have the people on the board from towns that have a license, so that at least they know the ramifications and what it's like. You know, what would somebody that doesn't have one in their community, that's probably because they didn't want them there, and so why would somebody be on the board that says, no, we don't want any in our community? So, I mean, and I think he's right, if, that's a different issue somewhere else that needs to be dealt with, not on this board. This board is to do those type of related activities.
Okay, any other discussion? We're going to get Reverend Gatto, and then we need to take action one way or the other on this amendment. Representative Gatto.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Every community, every rural community, starts out under state law wet. And so that community, in order to become non-wet, had to have an election and make a decision. And that means people in that community, if they wanted to stay wet, that's everybody. If they change, at least we have people that say, we used to be this, we're now that. Is that an improvement? I think those are valuable people who have seen both sides. My guess is there will be a fairly mature person who has seen both sides before you put them on the board. I don't want to restrict the number of people that are available to serve on the board. I don't want to add definitions that say, you know, if this, then that, which means if dry, if we had an election. We removed local option from the bill. I think that was a good move. And now we seem to be getting back only more convoluted than it was when it was simply local option. So when I see amendments that are contrary to what I think the intent of the senator is, I think he wants to get a rural person on the board from a larger group than if we legislatively mandate the group keep shrinking. So I'm going to be opposed to amendments that cause this.
Any further discussion, Representative Peterson? And then we're going to take action.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one thing that I don't believe we mentioned, there might be communities that are wet that don't that don't have anyone with a liquor license. I mean, if you've got a community with 12, 15, 18 people in it, it's probably not economically viable to have an alcoholic beverage license. And so just because they don't have anyone with a liquor license in it doesn't mean that they may not have the qualifications to serve on the board. So anyway, I just thought I'd throw
okay. Do you maintain your objection?
Who objected? Yes, I did,
Mr. Chair.
Okay. Reverend Grimber, I just said a couple of moments ago that we're going to bring this to a vote.
I haven't spoken except to ask a question a few minutes ago. May I just say something?
Very limited.
Thank Reverend you. Grimber. I agree with Representative Gatto that I think the intent of this, the basic intent of the bill, is to provide for rural representation. And if we're going to cut out a number of the senator's constituents here, I think that goes against what the senator originally said. If it's a person from a rural community, they'll bring a certain perspective to the board, whether or not that village happens to be wet, damp, or dry. And when we start cutting this too fine, we're going to make the pool of applicants smaller and smaller and smaller. And if you want to get somebody with a rural perspective, let's cast the net that includes all rural people in Alaska. That's the intent of the bill, and that's why I'm going to oppose the amendment.
Okay, call the roll.
Representative Gatto.
No.
Representative Johnson.
Yes.
Representative Kruenberg.
No.
Representative Peterson.
No.
Representative Seaton.
No.
Representative Wilson.
Yes.
Chair Lynn.
No.
Two yay, five nay.
Okay. Representative, amendment number one has failed. Amendment number two, who would offer amendment number two?
That's not being offered.
It's not going to be offered?
No, I'll offer amendment number two.
Okay. Any objection for discussion?
I'll. Yeah, just for discussion. I'll object for discussion only.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, this amendment basically adds Bethel to the list, a community that...
It's already in there.
I'm sorry? Amendment number two, which more than 6,000?
But that's, it's already in the bill. That says 6,000.
No, but Bethel is more than 6.
Oh, more than 6,000.
Mm-hmm. According to this, it's...
According to...
Not according, yeah, we have...
According to this...
Kodiak and Barrow included.
5,600.
Could change.
Under the new census, the estimates, and this is coming from the representative from Bethel who has asked that this amendment be put in, they would be excluded from having a member on the board. And that's at his suggestion. And if we want to include people who represent, we should at least consider our own representative as well as the senator's suggestion when we do this. Under the new census, that will exclude Bethel from this. And they have as severe a problem with this as any community in the state. And this is done at the request of the representative. And I don't know if he's here or if his representative's here, but that's...
Yes, there is.
That's the purpose of this. It is just to raise the limit a little bit to include an area that is a hub community that services probably a lot of the wet communities out there. And that's done for this, for that specific purpose. The new census will show it about 7,500 is my understanding from the representative.
Okay. Do you have another comment on this?
I do.
Representative Gatto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There's two ways to resolve this. One is to say no more than 6,000 as of a certain date or as of a certain...
I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
Two ways to resolve this. You can say as of a census of 2000 and, or 2000 census, or you can say villages of 8,000. But this is wide open. If we're less than 6,000 and both more than 6,000, we're everybody.
Except, Mr. Chairman...
Representative Johnson.
Except it excludes the rail belt.
The rail belt.
The rail belt and the road system, which is, I think, the intention of this is to get to rural communities not served by the road system, so.
Okay. Representative Wilson.
Sitka isn't on the list, but this would make Sitka be on the list.
Yes. Representative Grunberg.
Yes. To answer Representative Gatto's concern, I think that they would look at the population at the time of the appointment. And my question to Representative Wilson, has Sitka participated in a local option election? Because that would be the other requirement. Unless Sitka had participated...
They have a liquor store.
No, that doesn't mean they participated...
They could have voted, yes.
Oh, that means that they did? I don't know.
I don't know either, but all I know is that Sitka's over 8,000 people, but they're not connected to Fairbanks by road or rail, so...
I think the question, the criterion would be, under this, whether it had ever participated in a local option election. That would be the issue.
So there, you're limiting it again.
There's no local election option in this bill anymore.
Well, that says right there...
Now, in this, there would be.
Okay, we're not going to have just a free-for-all discussion here.
Just to respond to Representative Johnson, under this amendment, that would be a criterion in subsection C. And I don't, no, I'm just raising the legal issue here.
And Mr. Chairman, if I might...
Representative Johnson.
My understanding from the sponsor, and I don't know this, or the person who asked me to bring this forward, is that Bethel has participated. It may be the only community that has. I can't go that, but Bethel has. I don't know if Sitka has or Ketchikan or any other community, but I know that Bethel has participated, and they're excluded, and they have a problem equal to probably any other community in the state, and they should not be excluded from representation on the board. That's the purpose of the amendment, and you know, I don't want to debate it a lot further or go into it, but that's up to the committee.
Okay. I have to testify in a Senate hearing. I'm going to turn the gavel over. Representative Seaton, as far as the overall bill, I strongly support the overall bill. And it's snowing outside.
Thank you.
Okay.
Representative Peterson, then Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Maybe, I mean, if we really just want to make sure Bethel's included, maybe we could just say that does include Bethel.
Yeah.
In this bill.
Mr. Chairman.
And, I mean, I'm just a suggestion.
Mr. Chairman.
On this point?
Yes, I think that would constitute special legislation and be unconstitutional.
Mr. Chairman, I would agree on that.
Representative Wilson.
Well, it's or a community of more than 6,000 that has not been connected by road or rail to Anchorage or Fairbanks. That wouldn't, and why do we have to have that local option thing on there?
The sponsors?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Wilson. The language in conceptual amendment number 2 is exclusive to Bethel, and from any homework I've done or any hunting down I've done, this phraseology applies only to Bethel, and it is written, we go above the 6,000 figure because their population now on this list, it's at about 5,600. I've seen 3 other state lists that have it at 5,800, 5,400. So point is, Bethel is officially still under 6,000, but it's close to going over. But we have to hook in the phrase that is not connected by road or rail and has participated in a local option election. That phraseology is back, but it applies only to this amendment for Bethel. It doesn't apply to any, it doesn't bring any of the other communities back that have had local option elections.
Follow-up.
Representative Wilson, follow up, and then Representative Gutenberg. Okay.
Then, what about the word or right there? I just want to make sure that we're doing what you want us to do. And if we're, so we're saying that it's, as this reads, a rural area means, and then it's a city, A says, a city, or B, and then C says, or, so we're saying that you have the choice. Is that what you want? So it doesn't have to be all of these. It's this one, or this one.
Through the chair, Representative Wilson, yes, that's the intention, and we're very comfortable with the language.
Okay.
And I just want to emphasize, Bethel has been a community of interest since the day this bill was contemplated for introduction. So, and it's right to include them.
That was Mr. Tim. Yeah. And so, Representative Gutenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just from a legal point of view, and I support the amendment, but if Juneau or Ketchikan or anybody else who's a big city but not connected by rail or road wanted to, you know, let's say the folks in Juneau said, hey, you know, why are we cut out from having a member on the board? All they'd have to do is put it on the ballot for a local option election. Of course, it would remain wet, but then they'd be eligible. And I'm just saying that could happen. I'm not saying it would, but you folks need to know all they'd have to do is hold a local option election, and they'd be able to come in under this.
Sponsor?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Gruenberg, in that illustration, Juneau would not be precluded because there are 2 other general public seats, and plus there are the 2 industry seats. So, but under the intention of this bill to identify one of those seats, they would not be, but there are other seats available.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Gruenberg on this point.
I know, forgetting the other seats. If they held a local option election in Juneau, then they'd be eligible for the rural seat too. That's the way it's written. The language is very clear.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Gruenberg, technically that's correct.
Yeah, I just pointed that out.
Thank you. Representative Peterson, did you have a...
not at this time.
Representative Johnson.
I'm fine with the bill. I think everybody understands it. It is to include a community with representation that probably has a severe problem in this area as any community that we deal with. I will stand by my statements and prepared to vote.
Are there Did, Representative Goddard, did you object on?
I think I did.
I did not.
Representative Grunberg, you objected. Do you maintain your objection?
No, I removed my objection.
Is there further objection to amendment number two, which is a conceptual amendment that for adding to the definition of rural or a community of more than 6,000 that is not connected by road to Anchorage or Fairbanks and has participated in a local option election?
I'll object.
Representative Gatto.
And the objection is based on this. The number 6,000 comes from, and it's not addressed anywhere in the bill, is it based on a census of a certain date or some official document so that we don't have the question of, some people say it's 4,850, some say it's 4,400, some people say it's 4,900. If somebody said it's 6,010, even though it's not true, we don't have a way to determine it. Is that our job or someone else's job?
Somebody else's.
And the sponsor, can you tell us where the, what citation you are using for establishing that population cutoff number and what's proposed in this bill as determining that number?
Yes, Mr. Chairman and Representative Gatto. We, of course, in the original bill had the number at 4,500, and that was a number we picked. I had discussed several criteria with the drafter and tried to get a little experience. The number is purely our discretionary number. Now we bumped it up to 6,000. We felt we had an adequately sized pool of potential applicants at the 4,500 figure, but given the interest in this committee, raising it to 6,000 didn't impact our intentions any, and it served the purposes of the committee. So those are numbers we put in the bill.
I don't think that is the question.
I'm sorry then.
The question is, the 6,000 number, is that going to be taken from an annual list developed by the Department of Community or Commerce, Community, and Economic Development? Is that taken from the current census figure? What is the intention in the bill for that number?
Mr. Chairman, it's not related to any of those.
Okay.
We simply feel under the current circumstance that's a good number. It may serve for several years. Maybe it gets changed down the road.
Thank you. And we will, although 6,000 appears in the amendment, let's discuss that after the amendment because it's not crucial to this amendment because this deals with, if you're under 6,000, you obviously can be on the rural member. This is an exception for over 6,000. So Representative Gatto, we can bring that point up after the amendments there. So the objection to the amendment has been withdrawn. Is there any further objection to the amendment? Seeing none, amendment number two is adopted. Now we have before us version P, and on version P there is the handwritten amendment or the handwritten notation B for line 9 that says, is an established village that is located in a borough or in the unorganized borough. For purposes of this subparagraph, established village has the meaning given in AS 04-21080. Just for clarification, this is what we adopted on version P, and I just want to make sure that the entire committee is in agreement that when we adopted version P, that language on B is adopted in the version we have before us. Is there any objection or any disagreement from any member that was adopted with the version P when we adopted version P? Seeing none, we will not need to offer that as a third amendment. Representative Grunberg.
I agree with what you said, but I'd like the members to focus on the technical language of sub B, the handwritten language. It references AS 0421080. And in the packet, there is, towards the bottom, the subsection 9, that is established village. But I have handed out the beginning of that section. And at the bottom of the page, definitions in this title, established village is defined. And that, in other words, that definition already applies because the bill is in Title 04. And the reason we had to reference Title 29 was it was from a different title. So we should not be referencing as defined in that other section because it already applies, since it applies throughout Title 4. So I'm going to offer an amendment to strike after the semicolon, strike the, everything from the semicolon on, strike the language semicolon. For purposes of this subparagraph, established village has the meaning given in AS 0421080 because that's surplus. We don't need to do it because that definition already applies. So I'd like to offer that as amendment number 3.
We have conceptual, or we have amendment number 3, and that is striking everything from the handwritten portion. For the purposes of this subparagraph, established village has the meaning given in AS 0421080. Are there questions? I guess I'll object for discussion. And Representative Gruenberg, does that mean that we don't need the reference for city above that was amended in last time? The city has the meaning given 2971-800.
Mr. Chair, no, we do need to say that because the definition of city entitled in 2971-800 just normally applies in Title 29. This is putting it into one section in Title 4, so we have to do that.
I think that's right. Okay. Are there any questions?
Yeah, coming down pretty good.
I hope he's right.
He is.
He is.
I'll remove my objection, and amendment number 3 is adopted, which removes the citation after the semicolon for the part B on line, starting on line 9. Further discussion on House Bill 261. And I guess I would like to state that when we establish a number for a community and then we do not, at least on the record, put where that number is coming from, we run into great difficulty, I think, because we have Kodiak at 5974 population listed on this form. Is it going to be over 6,000 or under 6,000? We have no idea because we have no idea where that number is coming from. We don't know whether it's coming from revenue sharing number, which it seems like the obvious place to be, or what else, because we're talking about communities, so communities are all covered in boroughs and outside of boroughs by revenue sharing. So I think that we need to specify something, otherwise we're going to have a number floating around in statute that has no references where it comes, no source or no way to calculate a current city to that number. We can put the number in statute, but if we have no way to say what list you use or what determiner you use for cities to see whether they meet or fail that criteria, we have a problem. So Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with you on that point, and do we want to say according to the 2010 U.S. Census? Just throw that out there. Or the state of Alaska, I don't believe, does a specific census, so, or do we?
And since we're having committee discussion, I would like to just ask the committee if they would be comfortable, since we do establish on an annual basis for revenue sharing the numbers of each community, that we reference that the community population is determined by the official numbers used for community and municipal revenue sharing. And so I'd just like to throw that out there. I didn't put it as an amendment yet. There may be some other considerations. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm trying to remember. I think the Labor and Workforce Development has numbers that they use too. And where do we get our revenue sharing numbers from?
Representative Wilson, I believe we get it from the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. But we don't have to, I don't think, reference the department. We could just use reference the, because those are annually generated for revenue sharing. And so the populations as determined by the revenue sharing formula. And I think that that gets us to a place, but further community or further discussion. Representative Grunberg.
Mr. Chair, I thought we might have somebody from the ABC board on the line.
Yeah, whatever.
And I would like, if we do, to ask, if we don't say anything in the bill, where they would tend to get the number from.
Someone gets the number, so governor.
I'm sorry?
The governor gets the number.
Do we have somebody from the ABC board on the line?
Do we have anybody?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. This is Robert Beasley representing the ABC board.
Welcome. Have you been listening to our discussion? We have a rural number here. We're talking about a population of 6,000 or less, and we're trying to figure out, does the ABC have a place where they would go, or do we need to reference a place where they would go to figure out whether a community has above or below 6,000 members?
Yes, through the chair, I would suggest the most current U.S. census.
So you don't have a particular place where you know how many members are in each community other than this census? You don't have a typical place where you, you're not using population numbers?
Through the chair, no, I'm not sure where we would get those. Often we will look at commerce, community, and economic development numbers, and or also what the census numbers show.
Okay, thank you. I think that Wasilla would, or the Mattsu Valley wouldn't like the 2000 census right now.
No.
Thank you.
But thank you very much for that. Back to committee discussion. Representative Grunberg.
Mr. Chair, to Mr. Beasley, it seems to me that the ABC board has general regulatory authority in this area. Do you not? Because then you could, in a regulation, establish how you wanted to handle it, because it might be that immediately after the census figure, after the census was taken, you'd use the census figure, and at other times you might use a more recent figure. How would you feel about just, do you have the authority to do it now by regulation?
And through the chair, I believe we do.
So, Mr. Chair, I think that that's something that we could leave to them, because it's obviously the intent to use the most recent figure, and who knows, in the future, in this electronic age, there may be something else developed. I'd like the board to have the discretion to do that by regulation myself.
Okay, well, I'm going to offer amendment just so we have something on the table, and that is a conceptual amendment that the numbers used for community population will be the number used for community revenue sharing by the state of Alaska.
I will object.
Okay, and the reason for using that is annually we have to generate how many people live in every single community across the state of over 25 population, and this is talking about a community which is has that exact same definition. So if we have revenue sharing based on that, we establish it, the community population based on that, and for municipalities, it's all done on a per capita basis, so every municipality is determined for revenue sharing, and if we use, if we cite that number, we have somewhere definite to go that's already not asking a board or commission to generate some new kind of assessment or information. I think it lowers the cost to government. So that's offered as amendment number four, as a conceptual amendment number four. Representative Grunberg, object?
Yes. Just two things. Number one, in a given year, and I'm not sure when it would be in any year, might be in any month, that there would be a vacancy. And conceivably, it could occur, so that figure in a census year was almost a year old, and there might be more recent census figures. Secondly, we used to have municipal assistance. We no longer have that. And at some point, they might go away from revenue sharing for some reason. Those are just some things that concern me. But I really would like to know the sponsor's feeling on the amendment. I don't feel strongly about it, but I, given those concerns of mine, I was just wondering if Mr. Benintendi, if he accepts the amendment or would prefer to give it regulatory authority to the board.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Grunberg, beyond this discussion, I haven't contemplated that, so we'd be satisfied either way.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just to be clear, the board has nothing to do with who's chosen. The governor chooses who's chosen and submits that name, so the boards and commissions person is charged with doing this. So whatever the regulations are, the ABC board, they have nothing to do with this discussion.
That's true.
What we're talking about is the boards and commissions who,
that's right,
they can probably do the regulations. I don't know if they have regulatory power. They don't. So,
yeah,
you know, if we decide we need to put it in there, we should, but if we can't, leave it up to the ABC. So it's just a policy, yeah, call whether or not the governor, we want to, the intent is that we do it and the governor follows through, if we want to put it in statute. That's the policy call here.
Okay, I don't feel strongly about it. I'm going to remove my objection, and I don't have anybody else feels.
Is there further objection to amendment number four? Seeing none, conceptual amendment number four is adopted, which states that the community population for determining the 6,000 cutoff will be used from the community revenue sharing program of the state of Alaska. Are there further amendments to House Bill 261? Further discussion on 261. Representative Johnson.
Mr. Chairman, while we have the alcohol control board member, I think the president on the line, I have a question about the concept of the bill and whether or not they support it, whether or not it will make it more difficult for them to reach a quorum with a five-member board, maybe the number of votes that are 3-2. And I'd also like to address having someone making the decisions on a damp and dry community. So those are, I know we've already voted on that, but I would like to get the input from the general overview from the Alcohol Control Board.
And I don't have a list of who is online. Oh, here it is. Robert Beasley, are you online?
Yes, through the chair, I am.
Did you hear Representative Johnson's questions?
I did, and through the chair, I'm representing Director Gifford. She's not available to answer questions. Yesterday when I spoke with her, she told me that the ABC board is neutral on this issue, and that we have no recommendations to offer.
Okay, thank you very much. Representative Johnson, was there
good enough?
Is there any further discussion on House Bill 261? Representative Gatto.
I feel like we're on the Judiciary Committee here, but since it's not going there, I think we've done the right work. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you. Further discussion, do I have a motion on the bill?
Chair, I'll move House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 261, Version P, PAPA, from Committee Individual Recommendations as amended, and attach physical notes.
Is there any objection to the moving of the House?
Mr. Chair, yes. I think our staff had her hand up.
No, she was just...
Oh, withdrew it up.
Wave. Goodbye.
Is there any objection to movement of House CS for CS for Senate Bill 261, Version P, as amended, with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes? Seeing none, bill will move from committee.
I'll drink to that. Just kidding.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
That was on the record.
I know.
And we will take just a brief at ease.
Okay, I'll need this one.
Else to come before the committee. Committee will be adjourned at 9:10.